Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. This week, we're going to reflect on one of mine and many others' weaknesses, listening. Like many of you, I aspire to pay attention, focus with great intention, and hear you and others when they are speaking to me. But it's really hard. Like many others, I have so much to say, so many ways to respond, and sometimes just too much on my mind. I want to be present for the other person. I really want to listen. I really want to be in the moment with you. And as you are describing your most recent issue or celebration, I don't know why my mind wanders all over the place. I don't know why it suddenly disengages. And I don't know why I start wondering if the iron is on or how many emails I have to answer. Or worse, I just start talking over you. I'm sorry I do this. But I also know I'm not alone. So I wanted to explore this incredibly important topic with you this week and look into the science of why, as humans, we have a hard time consistently tracking with others. It is not uncommon for people to lose track of what others are saying. We are making eye contact, we're hearing all the words, yet our brain has taken us somewhere else. Why? Well, here's some interesting science that I was able to uncover. By the way, are you still listening? We listen to people at a rate of 125 to 250 words per minute. But we think at a rate of 1,000 to 3,000 words per minute. Did you hear that? We process our response 10 times faster than we hear the words being said to us. Some people call this loading to respond. In other words, while you are speaking, we are formulating a response without listening to you at all. We are taking a stem of your initial words and looking to verbally react. Natural, but we need to curb our enthusiasm for giving input and increase our ability to listen for the message. As my kids say, you got to slow down your roll and pay attention. Images go into the long-term memory, but words live in short-term memory, where we can only retain about 7 bits of information at a time. Okay, this one makes a lot of sense. We've all heard the saying, a picture is worth 1,000 words, so science and cliches are both correct. But what are the implications then as leaders? Do we really need a picture, or do we need to be strategic in the skill of listening? Well, this last fact has great implications on our leadership. Listen to this one fact. Less than 2% of people have formal education on how to listen. This is a big deal, because it shows that basically no one has been trained to be reflective in their skills of listening. We teach people to focus on their strengths, mental and muscular. We teach them to grow weaknesses, to focus on excelling in certain areas. But we do not focus on growing in the skill of listening. We need to support people's ability to purposely be attentive, in the moment, and cognitive of others and their communication styles. Hearing those facts, or did you, what can be done in your leadership to help others be a better listener? Well, first, let's explore the types of listening. There are 5 main types of listening, 2 foundational and 3 subtypes. Jason Wrench has a simple definition for the 2 foundational types of listening. Discriminative listening is when the listener distinguishes between the verbal and the nonverbal message. For instance, your friend may tell you that they are feeling good, but the frown on their face and their sluggish posture may tell you otherwise. This type of listening can be used for all types of public speeches. Most of us are very good at this type of listening, especially if you have a high emotional intelligence. It's pretty hard to turn a frown upside down when you don't really mean it. The second foundational type, comprehensive listening, is listening to understand. Many situations can require us to listen for knowledge. For instance, if your boss at work tells you how to complete a specific task, you would need to utilize this type of listening if you will be able to understand and complete the task as he or she instructed. Most audiences at a lecture require a listener to utilize this type of listening. Comprehensive listening is engaged easily when we have something at stake or we're highly engaged in the matter at hand. Comprehensive listening is not one that we all excel at. In other words, listening for knowledge. Some of us intentionally depend on others around us when we are in those groups. We know that others are paying more attention or taking notes, and as a result, we will depend on those others to get us and keep the message for us. So now let's explore the other 3 subtypes of listening. And as I'm sharing these, think to yourself, which of these are you best at? So the 3 main subtypes of listening most common in interpersonal communications are, first, informational listening, or listening to learn. This is when we are deeply engaged in the information that's being presented. We need the information to succeed or survive. Many of us perk up when information is being presented in this style, and we quickly comprehend it in order to be successful in the moment or in the future. The second type is critical listening, or listening to evaluate and analyze. This type of listening is most engaged when you have to make a decision, take a stance, or argue for success or survival. Here again, you are very in tune with the information as you are trying to make a conclusion. This is also the type of listening that can be applied when you are simply listening for the faults in others' arguments or weaknesses in their stance. It is important to truly disengage from opinions when applying this type of listening skill. So it's best to apply the next type of listening when trying to truly grasp a situation. The third and final type of listening is therapeutic or empathetic. And this is listening to understand feelings and emotion. As humans, we are very aware of others' emotions and feelings, and this listening style is critical in our ability to maintain and grow relationships. As a species, our history is defined by our ability to listen. Because we are naturally trying to grow our networks, we have evolved through collaboration, and we have survived through cooperation. The ability to listen to others and be aware of their state is critical. Empathy and hearing others allows us to truly advocate for and support the success or survival of those that we serve. So now we have the knowledge and research on listening. So what are we going to do with it? Our ability as leaders to listen, truly listen in the moment, is important for us in order to build and maintain trust, develop others, and support the success of those we serve. Admit it, this is hard to do. It's hard to listen because our minds are always in motion. We are often overcome with our own thoughts, and too often our attention to others lacks intention. We are busy, and we fail to just simply stop, shut off the train of thought, and hear what is being said around us. Erich Fromm, a very famous German social psychologist, said that the basic rule for practicing the art of listening is the complete concentration of the listener, and nothing of importance must be on his or her mind. He or she must be optimally free from anxiety as well as greed. These are two of his six principles, but they are powerful, especially if we can apply them in every situation and interaction with others. I mean, think about it. Complete concentration on the other person and a mind free of worry or jealousy. So let's do some smart thinking. Smart listening. This week, instead of reflective questions, I'm going to offer you a challenge that I found from Sam Mednick at Happy Melly, a company dedicated to happiness. Here are four of her challenges for listening. Challenge 1, check it at the door. This week, before walking into a conversation, quiet whatever is going on in your head. Literally, leave it at the door. If it's that important, it'll be there on your way out, and you can pick it up where you left off. Try your best to leave your thoughts, worries, problems, and overworked brain outside the meeting or interaction before engaging in your next chat. Challenge number 2. Give yourself one task to focus on the person in front of you. We're not robots, and it's pretty normal that we might tune people out from time to time when speaking to someone, no matter how interesting they might be. This week, challenge yourself to catch those moments when you're no longer, quote-unquote, there, and bring yourself back. Be vigilant about it and mindful when you find yourself drifting off into what she calls the ever-sphere. Challenge 3. Take yourself out of the conversation. This is one of the hardest things to master. As a reported, only 2% of the population does it properly. The next time you're talking to someone, don't use the word I in the conversation. As tempting as it can be to refer to a situation and bring it back to yourself, the most effective way to connect with someone is to listen and simply repeat back what they say or how you see them. If someone's angry, literally say, "I can see that you're angry." And it goes a long way. It's called empathetic acknowledgement, and it plays on the fact that people rarely just want to be heard. As humans, we're usually inclined to give advice and share similar experiences, and as much as it comes from a good place, the most value we can be to someone is by just simply acknowledging that we're listening and that they've been truly heard. Finally, number 4, let it pass. We've all had conversations when someone says something and we instantly think, oh, I need to comment on this. I need to add to it. I need to refute it. I need to argue. I need to one-up it. But sometimes we get so caught up in responding to that one thought that we end up missing the rest of the sentence or conversation. When that happens this week, challenge yourself to let it go. Let that thought pass. You might have even more to say about what's said next, making your initial comment completely unnecessary. I'd say Sam's pretty accurate in her challenge, and I'm going to challenge you to take her challenge and try at least one of these four this week. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, please feel free to share this on your social media platform. And if you have any leadership support needs, contact me at cesa6.org or ted@cesa6.org. Also, as always, thanks to the Wellpennies for their great music. Finally, I want to say thank you to my wife, Megan. This podcast was sparked by an exchange we had Friday when she got home from school at the end of a long week. My wife, Megan, is a 7th grade teacher, and these last few weeks, schools have been a tough place, emotionally, to be. The kids are worried about safety, the teachers are doing a tough job, and are working hard to be encouraging and caring and keeping the kids safe. But schools and teachers are once again a national debate, and as a result, nerves are fraying in classrooms, and teachers and leaders are needing greater support. Well, she was carrying all of that, and then her school experienced a tragedy this week to compound the weight of all other things. She walked in the door and was looking for me to listen, and instead, as she was speaking, I got all optimistic buffalo on her, did the exact opposite of everything I just discussed, and in the moment, I forgot the most important qualities of leadership: empathy followed by listening. Well, I'm sorry, Megan, and thank you, Megan, for being an inspiration even when I err, and I hope my lesson from this week can spark others to greater leadership and personal growth.